the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media and Rocky Hill Accountants. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, baby.
I'm loving the energy. You guys are both pipe just like I am. We've had some great basketball, a lot of things going on. But, you know, I don't want to waste no time because a big thing happened yesterday, the first time it's ever happened. So I'm going to get right to it. The Lake Show is officially over for the Los Angeles Lakers, guys. Yesterday, the Lakers took the loss to the Phoenix Suns, losing the series 4-2, and the Phoenix Suns would advance after their first playoff appearance in 11 years. So a lot of kudos to those young men. You know, it's been a long time since Phoenix been a really good team, so I give them a lot of credit. But, you know, a lot of things have gone wrong prior when it comes to this LA team. It just feels like this team was never able to get it right. But I'm not going to sit here and evaluate what happened because that's why I want you guys to break it down for me. So I'm starting off with you, Pride. Who's the biggest culprit for the early playoff exit for the Los Angeles Lakers?
Well, I mean, everyone's got to take blame, like, regardless. You know what I mean? Because, again, when you have a loss with Dennis Schroeder, who's supposed to be a very, very important piece, is giving you 0 points, he's got to take losses. You feel me? When Marc Gasol, who defensively, they basically singled him out. And they love running the high pick and roll. Why? Because he couldn't defend it. He's got to take some responsibility. And, of course, LeBron's going to have to take some responsibility as well. But, again, let's stop acting like this was the perfect season for the Lakers. The whole year they've been dealing with injuries. So the number one culprit, who are you going to blame? Injuries. That's first and foremost. Like, if you're going to say that this matters and not talk about the injuries, That's very illogical. It really is. Like, again, I'm not trying to diminish what the Suns did. Congratulations to the Suns. You know, they're moving on. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. But at the same time, there are facts we have to look at, basically. Like, it's to the point where people are now questioning, like, LeBron's, like, we were talking about this earlier. Now they're trying to say, oh, yeah, now LeBron's on, like, you know, this is the beginning of the end for LeBron. Bro, he's 36. If y'all waited this long to find that one linchpin to prove why he all of a sudden he's not going to go. If you guys are waiting this long, I'm going to ask you, in the latter days of his career, was Mike in Chicago winning chips? No. People want to forget about those 2 years in the Wizards. So I'm going to tell everybody this. If you're going to disrespect LeBron, bro, and be like, oh, but this is what matters, guess what? The first round, he still got a better record than MJ. He still got a better record than Kobe. So I don't care what anybody got to say about that. And if you got any issues with that, come see me. But in terms of who's to blame, number one, first and foremost, got to be injuries. Two, AD. I was watching inside the NBA. Chuck was calling him street clothes. And he said, I called him street clothes because he's always in street clothes. And I chuckled. I felt bad laughing, but it's true. I mean, like, AD has been injured a lot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and every time he'll come, he's ready to come back, then they got to take him out again. And it was just kind of this back and forth thing. Again, me personally, I'm chalking most of this up to injuries. Of course, we still got to give LeBron some type of responsibility because I believe even without AD, he would be able to get them to at least the second round. So he's gonna have to he's gonna have to wear some of this, especially when I get it. You're getting blown out. They're gonna head back to the room. I don't have a problem with that. My issue is when you're on the court and you're walking, and it's to the point where you're leaving your guys in a 4v5, and you're still walking. The Suns are passing the ball around. You're still walking to the point where the frame that's showing the whole play, over 8 seconds pass before you see LeBron finally walk in a frame. So that to me is the issue. If you're on the floor, I will say this. If you're on the floor, I get it. When you're losing, it doesn't feel good. But if you're not going to give everything on the floor, then go. Then sit out. Go back to the locker room. Do whatever you want. And by the way, for all the people that are trying to violate LeBron for leaving, your boy Westbrook did the same thing. No one's saying nothing about him. Kobe has done it. Nobody wants to say nothing about him. KD, Kyrie, Giannis, Jimmy Butler. Should I keep going? Cat, Dame has done it. You want me to keep that going? Oh, my bad. I'm not allowed to talk to him.
That don't mean nothing.
He ain't the first guy to do
that's it. What I'm saying. Like, to me, leaving it in a blowout, that's not my thing. If he had done it, like, if it was a close game, And all of a sudden, you see him give up and go back. Okay, that's one thing. Bro, it's double digits. There's the only way you guys are coming back is if you got a time machine and you can go back to the first quarter, hit shots. That's the only way y'all coming back. Until then, all this garbage about, oh, he should have stayed. No, no, because these are the same people when they have a little sniffle want to leave work. So I don't want to hear nothing about LeBron and y'all trying to come at him. Injury's good, definitely number one. Number two, just AD and LeBron when they'll show up and they'll have – the thing I saw about LeBron, he still has it in him. I saw stretches of dominance, but what I didn't see was every time they were down, LeBron kind of just was like, it is what it is. That's not the vibe he was sending, and that's not usually like him. Maybe he just was like, look, we don't care. We can lose, rest up, and retool for next year. Maybe that's what he was thinking. I don't know, but it's weird because when LeBron was good, LeBron was on it. I'm talking about my man was, yo, he had his – you know what? In Jay Crowder's mouth, bro. Like, he had DeAndre Ayton second guessing on jumping, bro. Like that Bron? Right. Bron shooting 60% from the three-point line in the game, bro? Like, come on, bro. Like, right. That to me, what?
100% LeBron. No AD. The Lakers are getting past the Suns.
Of course. No, there's no debate there. Right? I'm like, I know the debate. But again, I don't want to give him too much leeway on that injury because there were stretches where it didn't look like he was injured. It looked like he was dejected. And like I said, when they're showing the play and you're 8 cents out the frame, like, and just casually walking up, you know what I mean? That sends a bad vibe. Even if you're not the best player, you're LeBron James. If you want to call him the second best player, so be it. We all know LeBron James is a leader on that team. So if LeBron James is not, like, being up there and taking this jump serious, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, what else is he supposed to do? And then one more person I'm going to blame, which is, for me, has been the worst player I've ever seen in my entire life who they want to, like,
lick his nuts. I think he's going to do it, JJ. I think he's going to do it.
I hate Kyle Kuzma. I'm just going to let me just have like 2 seconds to have a quick little rant, bro. Because my guy out here talking about, yeah, I could be the third guy in this team, bro. I could be the third superstar the Lakers need. Bro, can you be the bucket the Lakers need? My man out here going, one first. Listen, we were talking about this earlier. And I say this with like straight up honesty, right? The reason I hate Kyle Kuzma is because I see me and him, right? Every single time he does doo-doo, that's my NBA career. Like, if I BS, bro, I would be the Kyle Kuzma of the NBA, bro. Like, I'm out here shooting 2 for 8, and then in the locker room, I'm, like, popping champagne bottles, like, yeah, bro, look at me. Like, oh, my, bro, Kyle Kuzma needs to get out of it. Release him. Release him. Don't even trade him. Release him, bro. Addition by subtraction, but,
you know, he'll be playing the same high next season.
No, bro, China will want him. Yo, one practice, China will want him. China will not want him, I'm telling you. But I'm going to – there was a lot of stuff. Obviously, you're going to have to give blame to LeBron. But, again, I'm not going to overreact on this loss too much because I want to see what LeBron does next year. I want to see which LeBron – because people forget. Before he was horrible, give you 23-8-7. That's terrible. Before that, the man was leading the league in MVP votes. It was like the favorite to win the MVP. How quick we forget. But no, let people tell the story. Let some morons tell the story. LeBron James was bad. Bottom of the MVP, he's bad. 25-8-8, over 50% shooting. But he was bad. Let them tell the story. I'm sick of this. I hate it here.
Yeah, man. You know, a lot of the LeBron slander that comes his way, a lot of it is not deserved, man. They torture this man. So I'm not going to torture him. I'm not going to put any slander on the man because he's one of the greatest of all time. I have him as the number one. A lot of people have him as two, whatever. I don't care what you say. But listen, guys, when it comes to who's the corporate, to the Lakers' woes, you touched on it, Pride, injuries, yes, for sure. And I'm going to touch on it a little bit later. But I'm going to go another one further, Pride. Coaching. I think Frank Vogel, this series, shitted himself, honestly, wet the bed, just horrible coaching. You brought in Montrezl Harrell, who was the sixth man in the year. You brought in Dennis Schroeder, who was supposed to give LeBron James some, you know, some relief. And yet, dude, you don't have any plays drawn up for any of the guys. Montrezl Harrell only averaged 6 minutes a game in the entire series. A dude who, dude, you knew AD was hurt. You know, a guy like Montrezl Harrell is an energizer who, yeah, he's not going to give you 30 or 40. The man is an energizer, like, but he's a dog. He's kind of, yes, like a bully in a sense. So he's no punk. You understand? What happened with Markieff Morris? These guys that you have on the team, Caruso, the legendary GOAT Caruso, GOAT. Nowhere to be. Nothing. You got nothing from none of these guys. So I'm going to put a lot of the blame on coaching and the role players. When you are on the Lakers and you are starting and you're getting over 25 minutes a game and you put up a goose egg, forget what the hell you're getting from Kuzma. You're Dennis Schroeder. You want $100 million, dude. Like KP said earlier on Get Up, good luck trying to get 50. Good luck trying to get 50, bro, because you put up a goose egg when everybody needs you. The Lakers, if you would have gave them what you averaged in a career, if you would have averaged that in this series, the Lakers could have easily won this. I'm not gonna give LeBron any crap for losing. Dude, he's 14-1 in the first round. How many times did MJ lose in the first round and he had to be saved by Scottie Pippen, baby? And dudes no forget. Tell that story. And dudes forget. Oh yeah, but once he had Pippen, yeah. But guess what? That even that one game where Pippen had a migraine or some sort in Game 7 against the Pistons, he no couldn't play well. And get what happened? He lost in Game 7. So I don't want to hear about MJ. Dude, LeBron did what he could, and he's 37 years old. Pride. I understand that when your father time has been having a conversation with LeBron, they've been dapping it up. I'm gonna come by later. I mean, check up on you, see how. Dude, it's coming, bro. Father time is coming. This isn't 33 year. I guarantee you, Pride. If this was 33 year old LeBron, we wouldn't even have
it. I'm killing him,
conversation, brother.
I'm killing him.
No. I'm talking about if this was 2000. If this was,
out. I was special as leaders really from day one and last night. Hold on, was another LeBron lacks the qualities of a leader who could rally his team. In fact, okay. Hold on. LeBron, in my opinion, is one of the top five worst players I've ever seen play. Do you guys mind if I take the floor here?
Bro, right now I want you to get him, Craig, because I don't want to get him. Because I get disrespectful. Okay. I want you to get him, maybe.
Okay. So I just want to. JJ, you're muted, bro.
Sorry about that. No. Respectfully.
Right. Okay.
Respectfully. Get him, Craig.
I just wanted to ask. So you say he's a horrible leader. I'm going to ask you a question. Who led that team to come back 3-1 when he was on the Cleveland and they overcame Golden State? Who led that team? And you cannot say Kyrie Irving, because when Kyrie Irving came to Boston, the leadership was so horrible, so horrendous, that quite frankly, almost cost Brad Stevens his job and Danny Ainge could have been fired for allowing him to come in here. So you can't tell me it was him. Who, I mean, what other leadership is there? Kevin Love? Go check back to his Minnesota days and tell me where his leadership was. Tristan Thompson, who quite frankly, no disrespect to him, was LeBron's puppy. He was kind of like
Jalen Brown.
Bro, LeBron literally got him paid. So to say that it was LeBron, look, if you want to say he had moments in this series where he showed bad leadership, I won't disagree with you. But to then say LeBron, in my opinion, is one of the top five worst players I've ever seen play, well, then that tells me, frankly, you've never seen anyone play before. I mean, the only people you have seen play are like parking lot dudes, like playground guys.
This is the only series he's never watched basketball for.
That's what I'm saying.
This is the only bit of LeBron he's seen.
Yeah, bro. Like, you can't tell me that when LeBron 07 like brought a team over to the who was the leader there? Mo Williams, the same Mo
he
Williams
made him that an all star
and did nothing. Like, come on, Igauskas. Like, you know, you can't say like you if you say stuff like that. That tells me one of two things. You can pick whatever road you want. You either don't know what you're talking about, or you hate LeBron so much you want to sound like you don't know what you're talking about.
Right. It's two really things nothing. Can be right at the same time.
Well, yeah. Hey, maybe he did decide to do some Naruto to the Shadow Clone Jutsu and decided to walk both. Because frankly, bro, to say something like that is like preposterous. Like, you know, if you want to give LeBron blame, I have no debate. I have no problem with that. I'm going to give him some blame. Obviously, I'm not going to assassinate him. I'm not going to kill him. Yeah, did have his moments. But again, last year, you're telling who was the leader on last year's team? You can't sit there and tell me that LeBron is the worst leader you've ever seen. And let me guess, you're going to say MJ is a great leader, the same dude who punched Steve Kerr. And then when Steve Kerr came back the next day for practice, MJ was like, no, bro, dap me up. Is that your version of a leader?
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget, Pride, this is the same Michael Jordan who refused to get a player fed on a plane because he was missing shots in the game.
And this is the same leader. MJ who's so much of a great leader that when they fired Phil Jackson, the game got too hard for him and he retired. A real leader ain't leaving for 2 years. I don't care what nobody said. A real leader ain't leaving. So,
well,
again, if you want to say he had stretches of bad leadership this series, I'll agree with you. Because like I said, as the leader on that team, you still got to have that energy. You still got to have that hustle, especially on defense. You have to. No debate. 100%. But if you're talking about his entire career, then the first basketball game you've ever seen was Lakers versus Suns game 6. That's the only basketball game you've ever seen. Because there's no way you're going to sit there. Who else is the leader? Trez?
No.
Trez, no. We get texts every other day.
No. Is that another leader? Let me get in there, Pride. And yeah. Dark Stage, we appreciate you watching the show. But for you to say that LeBron isn't a top 5 guy,
listen, oh my God.
Isn't everybody's pantheon? You can't find top 5 guys. And let me just read your latest post here. Simple. It was not LeBron. It was Ty Lue. He may not have been the best coach ever, but he was brought in because of the James guy. The players wanted to play for him, but how about all the times LeBron came up short? Was it Wade Bosch's fault in Miami? Was it the entire team in 07? All right, I'll address your Ty Lue point real fast. Ty Lue's team right now is currently down to the Mavericks 3-2 right now. How much leadership is he displaying at the moment? Who was Ty Lue before LeBron came into his life? Oh, the guy that got crossed up by Allen Iverson. So let's get that out the way. Wade and Bosch, I give Wade a lot of credit because, you know, Sander here is a Heat fan and Wade actually got the job done.
They were getting old
prior to that. But he did need LeBron to help him get to those next championships because I don't know if anybody saw the stat, the Miami Heat the year after they won the championship was one of the 6 teams who were bouncing the first round after winning a championship. And a lot of that is the wear and tear of winning a championship. It's very hard to repeat as champions. And LeBron James is one of the few players in NBA history that has actually repeated as a championship in those Miami Heat teams. So, again, Sage, we appreciate you watching the show. But for you to say that LeBron is one of the top – he doesn't reach the top 5 is just blasphemy to me.
No, he said he's the top 5 worst players he's ever seen play.
Which is crazy to me.
That's
insane, bro. Like I said, this must have been the first series, like Pride said. But let me get to the question, Pride. I'll let you get to your points later. Listen, I'm looking at who's the biggest culprit of the early playoff game. You guys wanted to minimize LeBron's fault in this. I'm going to maximize it a little more, but for a different reason, because I do think LeBron's stat line wasn't what we expected it to be. I feel like at the end of the game, you always just look at the stat line and be like, oh, that's really what it's all about. You know, people don't take consideration, defensive plays, being in the paint, like all that does come into play. Then those things aren't down in the stat sheet. Listen, my biggest thing with LeBron that I fought him with, he was too trustworthy of these guys. And that honestly is a fault of his because I really think that he wanted to get those other guys going. Like, he doesn't want to be this guy that seems like – he doesn't want to be the ball hog. He's more comparable to Magic Johnson than he is Michael Jordan. Anybody who's seen the 2 games, he's a more of a pass guy first, and he could go get it. And anybody that doesn't want to tell me that he's not a good scorer, he passed Michael Jordan in the scoring list with 300 less games. So I don't even want to hear that. Nonetheless, I mean, I think you made a great point, Sander, with Frank Vogel. I feel like he just wasn't the best coach in this series. Who knows how it would have been moving forward. But you got guys like Montrez and that, you know, he should have been on the floor more, especially considering AD's injury, the lack of energy. Because Marcus always is getting killed on the pick and roll, probably like you mentioned. But like I said, injury is definitely a big one. This team has never been 100% throughout the whole year. AD missed a quarter of the year. LeBron missed, 26 games. It's hard to come back from an ankle injury and try to come back 100%.
At that age.
It doesn't happen, especially at 36. Exactly, Sandra. You made a great point. But, yeah, Pride, you know, I really just think that LeBron, to a fault, was just a little too trustworthy of these guys that just did not come on this ride with him.
When you said you were going to put a little more blame on Bron, I was confused. But I do get your point because – he should have this game. If I'm not mistaken, I think he dropped 29.
29.
He definitely should have taken over. Like he
absolutely.
He definitely. This
I was
definitely
expecting a 40-point game from him at least once. But
actually, I thought either it was going to be a 40, or you were going to see him give you like 25, and then Dennis Schroeder. Like I've been waiting the whole series for like Trez to have one of those like plays where he's screaming.
Y'all want to laugh? You want to know who's the biggest corporate in all in the Lakers woes this complete series? That boy Booker T, King Booker, he was on it. He was the only one this
and
series.
And I'm glad you said that Sander, because Devin Booker did catch fire. You know, last night he made it a mission. He's like, yo, I'm sending these boys home. I'm going to come out there. He went 6-for-6 to start the game, scored 22 in the first round, outscored the Lakers by himself in the first quarter. And you know, we've seen Devin Booker get hot. We've seen him, you know, against your Boston Celtics, actually. Probably. He dropped 70. Yep. So for the longest time, We know Devin Booker could score the bucket, but for the longest time, we were thinking Devin Booker is just a guy getting buckets on a bad team, and that's what it was. That's exactly what it was. Now, Phoenix, for the first time in 11 years, are in the playoffs, and he's actually doing this for a good team. I think we all say that we like Devin Booker here. I don't think we have any Devin Booker hate. We actually – I think we're all glad to see him excel, so kudos to him. But you're right, Sander. Devin Booker, he showed up.
Showed up and showed out.
Yeah, he definitely like you said, bro. I put him in the Trae Young category, where like, yeah, bro, you take all the shots you want, so of course your points are going to be good. But now they're and both of them are showing me. Like, I was a Trae Young fan, but he won me over because in the playoffs, he had a couple games where he shot double digit threes, but normally that's all he would have done. And the fact that he's kind of involved, same thing with Booker.
He's a playmaker now, too.
Yeah, you know, and same thing with Book. Like, we're seeing him more comfortable, like, you know, moving around without the ball and all that stuff. And that's a credit to Chris Paul. That's a credit because now you got a guy who's helping him and be like, yo, listen, bro, you're not a one. You're a two. I'll be your one. This is what I need you to do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, move Chris around without the ball. Healthy. You know what I mean? So it's definitely I'm definitely glad Booker was finally getting, like, because people don't really talk about him like that. And now that the Suns are a winning team and are advancing in the playoffs, I feel like people have – right now they have no choice but to talk about him, especially considering the game he just played last night.
Absolutely. And, you know, Devin Booker came out the game after saying that, you know, he really felt like he was in Kobe's presence being at Staples Center. And I think he did his best Kobe impression and performed in Staples Center. So much credit to him. So I do want to move forward, though, because, you know, this weekend is going to be a very spicy one, especially here for Stir the Pot. You know, we got some Yankee and some Red Sox fans, and it is the Major League's first appearance between these two ball clubs. Anybody who knows the Yankees and the Red Sox, listen, my man Pride here, he does some great work, you know, finding those videos. And you made me go down memory lane, bro. You really made me this. You sent me this video right here, and it really just got me all juiced up.
Yeah,
it got
me all juiced up. Like, we're talking. We're talking.
Look at Manny with the short hair. Look at Manny
with the short hair. Yeah, that's abuse. Arrest that man.
Run up and get done up, bro. So inspirational.
Yeah, you know, and seeing these clips, they make it great, you know. It really does show you how intense this rivalry is. And to help us talk about this great rivalry, I had to bring in my president of the Solo Media Group and the resident general manager, the man himself, Joe Aguirre. How you doing, my brother?
Guys, thank you for having me on here. I'm doing fantastic, JJ. JJ was like, oh, let's bring you on the show today. It'll be fun. Sander will really enjoy it. And Pride will be there too, he said. So, here we go.
I didn't say the same exact words, but it was something like that.
Something like that.
But yeah, no. But Joe, pleasure to have you on the show. You know, this is the first time the Yankees and the Red Sox are meeting for the season, and I think we all had this one scheduled on our calendars because Red Sox Yankees, there's nothing like it. You know, so I'm just going to ask you a simple question on both these bowl clubs. Who do you see being the X factor for each team?
I'll tell you what it's going to be is the pitching. Whoever pitches better wins this series, plain and simple. The Yankees obviously have struggled hitting the ball, not getting on base. Their on base percentage team-wise is actually pretty solid. Banging into too many double plays, getting thrown on the bases too much, on defense, you know, really kicking the ball around like the Bad News Bears. That kind of stuff has to stop. But the Yankees pitching's been outstanding this year. I said I thought it was going to be. It's been as good as what I thought best case scenario is going to be. In a million years, never would have thought this team would be hitting 227 with less home runs than the Red Sox and the Rays coming into this series. That is, you know, here's my thing, though, and here's why I'm optimistic, because if the pitching was poor right now through this stretch, the idea that it would just suddenly get better, you know what I mean? I don't know. It is what it is. The hitting has been so bad that this cannot continue for another half of us. There's no way. So I just think statistically speaking, this Yankee team's going to have to get hot at some point and really start hitting the baseball. So I'm optimistic, but I don't like what I'm seeing right now.
Go ahead, Link. You're the Yankees fan. Go ahead. I want all y'all to go.
Listen, to piggyback off of it, Joe, you made a great point about pitching is going to win this game. Well, if that's the case, well, the Yankees are going to win this series because Yankees are top five in the league in pitching, and the Red Sox are outside of the top 10. So the X factor for the Yankees is to make sure that they keep the pitching, the elite pitching, because I don't care what you say. If you're top five in the entire league, you're pretty elite at what you're doing. So the pitching, I'm not worried about it. As long as they can maintain what they've been doing recently, I'm feeling good. The Red Sox, though, for the Red Sox, I think, you know, they have to keep the Yankees from hitting those bombs because their pitching is not as great as the Yankees right now. Even though they can score, if they're not pitching well, the Yankees can tear the cover off the ball. So the last thing you want is the Yankees to gain confidence, especially in a big moment like this. This is the first time they're going to make. They're salivating this moment. These are two teams who both aren't in first place. The Red Sox started in first place, but they fell, and we're both looking up at first place. So right now, both teams are hungry to try and make a step to, you know, chase Tampa. Is it Tampa or is it Toronto? I believe it's Tampa.
Tampa.
Yeah, they're both looking up at Tampa right now. So both teams want this series bad. If it's a sweep either way, obviously both teams will take it. But I'm pretty sure the Yankees would not be mad if they took two out of one. It's a three-game series over the weekend. I hope they take two out of one, gain the confidence. But a big X, besides the pitching, Joe, for the Yankees, to me is Aaron Boone. I think Aaron Boone goes to a lot of situations when he faces another team that's elite, and he wants to make sure that he's the best coach. He wants to overcoach. He wants to overlook things. He sees a guy that's out there giving you five solid innings, maybe gets in a little bit of trouble, and he wants to quickly pull him and maybe bring in and turn it into a bullpen game. I'm not worried about the bullpen, but I feel like you need to give your starter that trust. If he's balling and he gets in a little bit of trouble, let him get out of it. See if he can get out of it first before you pull him. Aaron Boone, to me, needs to make sure he doesn't overcoach, because Alex Cora, I hate the Boston Red Sox with a goddamn passion, but Alex Cora is a great coach nonetheless. So, and in situations, you've seen Alex Cora in pressure situations, and he doesn't overcoach. He does what gets him to the dance.
He'll do anything that it takes to win.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anything. Guess what?
It worked for us. It worked, baby.
Aaron Boone to me, the big key is don't overcoach. Yankees, keep on pitching like you've been doing. You're top five in the league. Red Sox, don't let the Yankees bat get hot, because like you said, Joe, this batting slump is not going to stay forever. So if they start clicking, it's a problem, because the pitching is not going to get any better to me, nor any worse, barring injury. So I think the Yankees got the pitching on step. If they get the batting this weekend, it's a wrap. So Boston, you better not let the Yankees get hot in hitting.
I gotta let you go, Prod.
No. I want to go last, because when I go on my soliloquy, I don't want to be bothered. So please, JJ, the floor is yours. Please try to trifecta me, because guess what? This is Call of Duty triple kill. I'm gonna get a collateral. So I'll go ahead, JJ. I want you to.
You ain't team wiping. You ain't team wiping.
Go ahead, JJ. Don't worry,
he says that with no sleeves, and it's even more intimidating.
That's what I've been saying since we started this whole thing. Once he pulled out the sleeves,
Praise on that big energy today for sure. And by all means, you should. You know, you're a big personality, but I think you guys both make great points. Sandra, I love your Aaron Boone point, because he really does that. It really reminds me of last year in the playoffs when he pulled a Kevin Cash on himself, and eventually it cost him the series. You know, if that was the turning point of that whole playoff run. You know, this guy right here, that man Judge, I need him to have a Yankee moment this weekend, because I feel like every great Yankee player has a great moment against the Red Sox. That's just the only way you can really solidify yourself as a Yankee. I mean, besides winning a championship, obviously, you got to have great Red Sox moments in these pivotal matchups, regardless if it's in June or if it's in October. You got to shine when it comes to these games. I'm telling you, a home run against the Red Sox is two home runs versus the Orioles or whatever. It doesn't matter. These games just mean more. It doesn't matter to me, Joe. So really, I need Judge to have a big weekend. I need Aaron Boone not to outcoach himself. Pride, what you got for me, baby? Floor is yours.
First and foremost, I want to give you guys a little bit of friendly advice. If Aaron Boone is listening to your boy, you feel me? I'm gonna throw you a little tidbit, you feel me, for free.
Show him the flex real quick in the solo shot. Show him the flex.
You got but what you guys need to do, I'm gonna explain something.
He's scary.
Let's say you guys get swept by the Red Sox, right? Let's say it, right? You guys shouldn't be mad about that. You shouldn't. What you guys should be mad at is getting swept by the Tigers. See, that's the problem you guys are having. You see, you guys want to get up, right, for like the high-pressure game. For the Rays, we're up here. For the Red Sox, yo, we live. For the Tigers, bro, where was that energy? So that's the issue you guys – now, what needs to happen, I'm going to tell you, I don't think this is really a solution for you guys. I don't think there's anything you can go out and get. Like the name most synonymous with you guys is Trevor Story, and I'm like, yeah, I don't even think he's fully healthy. He's been having a weird year, but then if you look at it, yeah, he's been having a bad year, but that still would be a phenomenal year compared to what the Yankees are doing right now. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like an up and down thing. Me personally, you guys are saying Aaron Boone is the X factor. I'm agree with you, but for a different reason. Joe, you guys, with the Roll Call podcast, I love watching you guys, especially when you guys are losing and you guys look so miserable. That is what I live for, boys. That is my life. That's my satisfaction. But you guys did say something. You guys were sick and tired of Aaron Boone going up to the camera and saying, we'll figure it out. It's small mistakes. You guys were sick of that. Frankly, I love it. But I would understand why you guys hate it, because he's not making any moves whatsoever. Now, the best moves he should be making, me personally, I'm calling up. If anyone in the minors, you're having a solid year, I'm calling you up. Yo, Clint, sit down. Yo, Brett, forget sitting down. Get out. You're released. Like, you, I'm doing all these guys. I'm sitting, guys, and you're staying there. And the instant you look at me with dog eyes, I'll be like, hey, yo, you will get Gary Sanchez so fast, bro. Look at him over there, and you go see him crying. And then you go see a guy like right now, Giancarlo Stanton. That's your king. My man, JD Martinez, consistent. That's what I live for, bro. I'm just having too much fun. But now that I decided to be nice to you guys, you threw out a nice stat, right? I got a question. Do you happen to know what teams are top five in runs this year? Number one, obviously, the Dodgers. Number two, Houston, which I told y'all Houston was going to be a problem. No one wanted to listen to me. Pride is stupid. But guess what? Houston becoming a problem. But number three, Toronto. Four, Tampa Bay. Now, guess who's number five?
The Red Sox.
The greatest organization to ever grace God's green earth.
Oh, the Yankees? I didn't know that. Manager.
Yes, oh, we are top five. Please look. Joe, do not embarrass me right now. Let me enjoy my moment, all right? This is like a few times as a Boston fan, we've been down since last year. We were down, bro. I need a moment, Joe. Let me just get on one moment. We are top five. Do you know where you guys rank? Do you want to know where you guys rank? Quick, throw me a number. Quick. Throw me a number.
23rd.
Oh, my God. Joe, you're so close. 27th.
27th.
That's what I live for. That's horrible, Joe.
Yeah.
Horrible. So, for me, you guys saying pitcher going to be an X factor. What about them bats? Because I know two bad men. One, I named my son after this man. That's how much love I have for my son, Xander. I called him Xander, and I spelled it because of that bad man right there. I'm glad we traded Mookie Betts. I'm glad. Good riddance. As long as keeps giving Xander Bogart, you could have gotten rid of him quick, fast, and in a hurry. But listen, Joe, I'm loving this, bro. We're going to win. Our bats are going to get hot like they usually do, because, see, this isn't a rivalry. You feel me? You guys want it to be a rivalry.
You're right. It's not a rivalry.
Love this. You see, after Pedro Martinez grabbed that old man, threw him on the floor, it was over. It was a TKO.
That was a song.
Look at Manny. He's like, yo, watch it. And look at him. Ooh, 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 ooh. He's walking up because he sees people about to help him out. He's like, look, now here comes the main event, ladies and gentlemen. What we all been waiting. Look at that. Oh, you want to come at me? Eat grass. That is what we're going to do to you.
You can't be happy at that and then shit on Jake Paul. You can't be happy at that and then shit
that's
on Jake Paul.
That's elder abuse. That's elder abuse. You shouldn't guess
what? You know what? Yeah, you're right. It's elder abuse. You want to know why? Because that old man should have been a young man and stayed back there instead of trying to test the greatest pitcher of all time, Pedro Martinez. But anyway, I just love it when you guys are miserable. And you ready to hear the funny part? Like I said, Joe, there's no solution. The only solution you have is calling guys up, and Aaron Boone won't do it. I don't know why. I don't know why he won't do it. I don't know if he, like, loves the roster he has now and he wants to force it to work. I don't know if he – maybe – who knows? Maybe he doesn't have the permission to do it. And he's got to go talk to management. They go, no. And then he kind of got to sit there and deal with it. That's a possibility. I don't know. But the only moves you guys can make, like, your outfield right now is atrocious. Dominguez should be up and getting starts on this horrible, and I say that with such pride, pardon the pun, but horribly, bro. Me, I'm getting youngsters. I'm plugging them in there. I'm like, yo, at this point, if you can bench Gary Sanchez and destroy his confidence, who's Clint Frazier? Who is he? But again, what do I know? I'm just loving it. I'm just loving it, Joe. I'm just loving it.
No, Joe, you know, I saw a lot of those clips with the old rivalry. Do you think that there's any chance that this weekend matchup is going to get spicy like that? Are we going to see a fight maybe?
I would love to see that. I would love to see that because I'll tell you what, earlier today on Keys to the City, I actually called for the firing of Aaron Boone.
Oh, wow.
Not because I don't like Aaron Boone, but I find he's in a bit of a tenuous spot here because how are you, what can Aaron Boone do to get Gary Sanchez to stop running into outs on the bases or for Mike Ford to know how many outs there are in an inning or for Glaber to see a ball right into his glove? What can he do to make that happen? I'll tell you right now, if George Steinbrenner were still alive, it would be this is nothing against Aaron Boone.
He's fine. But, everybody.
And sometimes, and I think this happened in the NBA this year where Nate McMillan came in and took over a team, took him to the playoffs in the right.
Different.
Yeah. This might be one of those times where you have to bring somebody else in to get, this is a good baseball team. That's the problem. It's a good baseball team with good players. And they're under, well, I'll tell you, he's available and he lives in New York and he's already a legend. His name is Joe Torre.
No.
Bring back Joe.
No. No.
You bring that guy in there and instantly, I think you would find a massive turnaround with this team.
I don't think so.
You know, I get your point, Joe, and I'll let you go, Pride, and I get your point very much on that one, but I just feel like if you bring back a guy like Joe Torre, then you got 98, 99, 2,000 expectations, and this team is just not that team right now.
This team has those expectations. They need a guy that can get them there, and if there's anybody that's got the resume to walk in the door and get this team to start playing with their heads not up their asses, it's Joe Torre. Because again, it's not like you're coming. If you were going to take over the Toronto Blue Jays, okay, expectations are what they are, right? Again, an underperforming team, but you figured they would underperform because that's what the Blue Jays do. The fact that the Yankees are underperforming, something drastic has to happen. Again, I like Marcus Thames a lot. I think, you know, again, if not Boone, fire Thames, fire Matt Blake, fire somebody. Because what I've seen happen with Gary Sanchez, Gleyber Torres, Aaron Judge, Clint Frazier, where these guys, Miguel Andujar, these guys are supposed to be superstars. What is going on here? What failure in the coaching staff has led to these guys taking massive steps backwards? I mean, they've ruined Gary Sanchez. They ruined him. And by, you know, listen, Gleyber Torres is a natural shortstop. I know he doesn't look like it, but you spent 2.5 years teaching him how to play second base. I'll remind everybody, JJ, you remember, he was terrible at second. Terrible there. He's taken all the stuff he learned at second, and he's trying to play shortstop with that same skill set. Doesn't work. Again, you messed with this guy too much. Now he can't hit because he's so worried about all the errors. I mean, they've done a terrible, terrible job. And I'll say this to the greatest organization on the planet or whatever you call them, Pride. The Red Sox have done an exceptional job for a really long time from Pedroia and Youkilis. Okay. And a lot of these guys, they bring them up. Michael Chavis, I know, is not playing well, but Bogarts, Devers, you bring these guys up, you let them play. The Yankees have brought Estevan Florial up, Pride, twice for two games. Once last year, once this year, went 1-for-3 in both games, immediately sent back down. This kid's the future, and you have a glaring open in the outfield. Play the kid!
Me, personally, I'm playing him at least 7 games.
And I agree with you, too. Jason Dominguez, bring the kid up, for Christ's sake. What's the worst that's going to happen? You find out he's not the second coming of Mickey Mantle? Send his ass back down.
That's it.
Easy breezy.
I remember you were saying that how, like, if you call the guys up, what's the worst thing that can happen? Which is true, because think about it. In terms of the outfield, the only way you can get worse is if you just don't put no one out there. That's the only way you can get worse. So you might as well bring up these new guys to try to see if they can fill up the hole.
Let me say one more thing real quick, and I'll let you guys talk because I feel like I'm hogging this all up. But you guys, I don't know if you guys know the story of Mickey Mantle, but Mickey Mantle came up, and everybody knows the Mick Ward number 7. But that's not what he started as. Mickey Mantle showed up, and they gave him number 6. Ruth, 3. Gehrig, 4. DiMaggio, 5. And they were like, Mick, you're 6. You're the next. And Mickey Mantle struggled. He got sent back down to Oklahoma City. He called his dad. He was like, I can't do this. And his father was like, come on, Mick. Get your act together. You don't have to be Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig or Joe DiMaggio. Just be you. Just be what you do. And a few weeks later, he started hitting. They brought him up. They went to give him number 6. He said, please, anything but 6. I don't want to have to live up to that. They gave him 7. He goes on to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the only things you guys can really do, you might as well just call these dudes up, see what's going on, see if plug them in.
But let's see what get Joe T, though. Joe, I mean, maybe, but
you want Buck Showalter? You want Bobby Valentine?
But do you think that just because Tony La Russa took Chicago to the second best record in the AL, you think Joe Torre's going to do the same with the Yanks?
That's not.
I watched Jack McKeon in 2003 take a Marlins team of young black and Hispanic players, a lot of Dominicans, a lot of Spanish speakers, 73 years old. This guy showed up in that clubhouse, and it was like, oh, what in God's good name were they thinking?
Joe Torre,
boy, did they rally around Grandpa Jack all the way to a World Series over Joe Torre and the Yankees. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm sure Joe Torre doesn't want to put the grind in of a full season. Doesn't have to. You've got the talent and the pitching to win a World Series. You've got the bullpen to win a World Series here as well. You just need the right guy at the helm, because I Pride is right. There's just no easy fix for this. How do you inspire a team to turn it around and start playing like they're supposed to be? It's going to take something drastic. Again, it could be Buck Showalter. It could be Willie Randolph. It could be Bobby Valentine. Get me somebody like that that's going to walk in this dugout, and instantly, I know it's on me. I got to start playing better. I just cost Aaron Boone a job. That's on me now. But, and here comes this legend in the door. If that doesn't inspire you to play better, you don't belong in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. Go ahead, JJ.
And I'll say this, you know, Joe, you know, we follow the Yankees. We all do to a degree. The Yankees have been so hell-bent on keeping these picks, these guys in the minor league system, so tight that they won't even include them in trade packages. If you won't play them, what the hell are you keeping them for then?
Right.
What's the point then?
Right.
You got these guys you want to hold on to them so tight, yet you won't play them. So what's the point?
That's like me being allergic to chocolate, right? And I'm keeping all the Hershey's. I know I'm not going to use them, but every time Joe comes up to me, you want to trade Skittles for? I go, nah. Why do I have them? That's dumb. And to your point about Boone, I do get why you say if you bring them, it'll make them think. You know what will make them think even more? Instead of Aaron Boone's job, put their job on the line. Sit Brett Gardner down and be like, hey, yo, you see this? See, remember, where Domingo Germán.
Here's your problem with that. That works on 29 other franchises. This is the Yankees. No one's sitting Brett Gardner. At first, they have to play him because you're lacking depth. But you're going to sit Aaron Judge? Nobody sat. Aaron Judge was 0-for-11 with 7 strikeouts. You're not sitting that guy.
But you're not sitting
Giancarlo Stanton. Think about what it took them to sit Gary Sanchez. It took a year and a half for them to come to that. These are the Yankees.
That's the problem.
These are the Yankees. It's different. And that's why I say I find Aaron Boone in a situation where this could work any other clubhouse, but it doesn't work here. It just doesn't. It's unfortunate.
The reason you guys say that is because you don't want to see it. That's the only reason you want to say it. Look, I get it.
Oh, we want to see it. We want to see it. Believe me. Listen,
in your heart of hearts,
hold on. We would love to see a Yankee team built on defense and pitching with some home run hitters that can bunt, move runners over, situational hitting, clutch hitting. JJ, tell him how much you and I love clutch hitting. JJ and I are that's one of the things on the roll call. I feel like clutch hitting tells the story of a team and a player. If you hit in the big moments, that's really all I care about. But again, for a team that's not hitting home runs, and again, the Yankees are walking, they're getting on base, their on base percentage for, as a team is over 300. They're, I think, in the top five in on base percentage. As you mentioned, 27th in batting average with a 226 average. I mean, that is, you can't win games that way. And when you're not hitting in the clutch as they've been doing for the last, JJ, right? Tell them the last 4 or 5 years, this team with runners in scoring position, it's been terrible. So easy this runs. Year, boy, nothing doing.
I just want to say one thing. Rafael Devers just smacked it 3-0. And what? Come on, Joe. Yeah. Oh, look at the misery.
That's good. I want. I was hoping the Yankees would get behind early in this one so they could kind of crawl their way back in.
Yeah, they're going to crawl their way out of the stadium to go home because they're not winning. But I
you guys are here, you guys are playing right in our hands right now with that homer. You don't even know it yet.
And you're about to play yourselves out of your own hand. I will say this, though. I do understand why you don't want to bench these guys, but something needs to be done. And honestly, I don't think getting rid of Boone, I don't think replacing him is going to do anything. I don't. You know what but I
listen,
mean?
The people that were like bench Gary Sanchez, they did it. Tell them how good Kyle Higashioka is, guys. Tell Pride how good he is now that he's playing every day. What's his batting average? He's actually hitting worse than Gary Sanchez is now as the catcher,
which is bad.
So who, right? You're gonna bench Frazier. Who you're gonna start? Tyler Wade? Miguel Andujar? There's nobody to fill in for these guys.
But you got to bring a guy up. That's what I'm saying. Just bring a guy up. Look, even if he does awful, you send him back down and, all right, fine, we'll put Frazier back. Like the thing is, you have to spice it up. Firing the manager is not going to do it. It's the players that you know what I mean? I don't know, man. I just love it, man. The Yankees are destroying themselves.
Yankees outfield is decimated by injuries, and two of their biggest name prospects are the kid, the Martian, Jason Dominguez, and Esteban Florial. Those are two of your best offensive prospects. Just see what's up. If they can't help, then you go find somebody else. But you've got these. Here's the other thing. The last thing I'll say, again, Pride, on what you were saying before, and to piggyback off JJ, this idea that if you've got all these young guys in the minors, either trade them for proven commodities or let them play baseball. The Yankees, I mean, right? How long did we nurture Chance Adams down on the farm? He's so good. He's an ace. 4 or 5 years, you're like, this kid's better be good, boy. All these trades they're turning down for Chance Adams, and he showed up and he was a bum.
Nonetheless, guys, I'm very excited for this weekend's matchup between the Yankees and the Red Sox because it's always classic. Hopefully, we have a matchup in October because that's when we really want to sit down. Joe, thank you for coming on to the show. We always appreciate you having here. Clovercrest Media President and Yankees residential GM, Joe Aguirre.
Before I go, Pride, Yanks take 2 out of 3. Skittles on the line.
I'm in there. I'm taking it.
He dropped the mic. Again, Joe, thank you so much for coming on the show. But we're going to transition to the fight game. We did talk a little Paul Brothers the other day. But things got spicier yesterday, you know, because they actually got a little face-to-face and both the guys broke the internet. Logan with Mayweather and Jake with Tyler Woodley talking a lot of smack. Jake's over here talking about, oh, if you win, I'll double your purse. And if I win, then I'll donate your blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking at the massive size difference here between Logan and Mayweather. Like, Logan has significant size, but all that size ain't nothing when you come in Floyd Mayweather in the ring. So Pride, who you think of the two Paul brothers has the better chance of winning their fight?
That's like asking me how I'd rather die.
Saying myself, say like, I want to hear you say it, bro. I want to hear you say
it. Like, obviously there's only one of them who is in position to win. That's Jake. Because the fight with Logan and Mayweather has no judges. It's an exhibition. If you get knocked out, it doesn't count, which to me
Knockdowns count.
No. They actually don't because there's no scoring,
There's no winner called.
Yeah, they are allowed to knock each other out, though. It says in the rules.
You're allowed to get knocked out and whatnot. Yes, that's of course. But, you know, I mean, have you seen Logan Paul throw a punch? Yeah, bro, he's not hitting Floyd. Like, if my man can survive Manny Pacquiao, I don't care if Manny Pacquiao had a torn rotator cuff. If he can survive Manny Pacquiao, yeah, this kid got no choice. But obviously, it's gonna have to be Jay because they're the only ones who are gonna have judges and will actually there will be an actual winner decided. So that's really it. Now, if they were both, I mean, I'm not picking Jake Paul to win at all because I'm not stupid with money, and I don't think Logan Paul is gonna knock out Floyd. Unless he freaking throws him up a donk zillion dollars under the table, because Floyd will be he'll sell his soul, he'll sell his dignity for a fat check. If the check is fat,
I think we can admit this. The Paul brothers don't have sell your soul money just yet.
But yeah, you're right. But you know, it, like I said, bro, it has to be Jay because that's the only one who can. So I don't know. I'm still not a fan. I still don't really. I don't want to say I don't care, but I don't care because you know what I mean. I literally would rather watch paint dry than any of these fights because I just don't think they're gonna be entertaining. That's just me. But yeah, if I got to pick one, I'm gonna go Jake.
Yeah. Nah, for sure, man. Yo, just real quick to touch on the money situation on both. Yo, so Mayweather off rip just to show up is getting $10 million just to show up. Then he's making 50% off the pay-per-view buys. Let's just say it's $60, right, guys? It makes $1 million. I'm gonna be friendly and I'm gonna say $1 million on the dot. That's $60 million. He's getting half of that. That's $30 million on top of the 10 that he's already getting. The man is making over $40 million just for this fight alone. And if you're telling me, Pry, that you are 44 years old, I don't know what you're gonna turn down over $40 million just to beat up a YouTube kid. You crazy, bro. And we're not talking about me, we're not talking about you, we're talking about Floyd Money Mayweather. So of course, baby, he's not gonna turn that guy. He's not gonna turn that down any chance. He's not gonna fight Terrence Crawford, but he'll beat up a YouTuber for $40 million or plus. You know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, who has the best chance to win? Everybody, there's a lot of people. It's so crazy, guys. There's a lot of people actually saying, "Oh, if Logan Paul lands that punch, he could." Yeah, if he lands, the dude is over 6 feet tall. He's over 210 pounds. The dude is big and strong, but you got to land. And if you ever saw the video that was recently posted of Logan Paul, you know, training, hitting the boxing bag, it's like he was throwing a right straight. I'm like, dude, you gotta work on it. You gotta work on it. But check this out. The only chance that I give Jake Paul, because I think out of the two brothers, he's the only one that has a chance of winning, is if he gets lucky and catches Tyron Woodley, because maybe Tyron Woodley will go into this fight maybe emotional. And Tyron Woodley recently, based off those straight losses, you said it prior to the show, Dana White had this man as like, dude, you're a champ, but you're lucky you're a champ. That's the only reason why I even give you fights is because you're a champ, because you're so boring to watch. And I feel like that messed with a man's like, you know, I think it messed up with his inside, his mental, you feel me? So he's going to go into this trying to prove a point. He's getting paid more money than he's ever made in the UFC, which is freaking bonkers. You know what I'm saying? Which is crazy. One fight with a YouTuber and you're making more, and you were a champion, Pride, on top of that. It's crazy. So I think if he goes into emotional and he gets caught, say what you want. They're not real fighters, but I'm going to say that Jake Paul does have some power. You know, you do have guys like Mike Tyson, Zach Judah. You got a few professional, but he has been training with professional boxers for 2 to 3 years. I mean, he may have some type of sense of what he's doing in the fight game. But so that's the only reason why I give him the only chance. But I still got Tyron Woodley pulling out and beating Jake Paul and putting an end to this, because I do not give no chance in hell Logan Paul. I don't care if you had a gun to my head and you told me that I had to bet on Logan Paul. I'm still not gonna do it. Shoot me, blow my brain, because I'm not gonna look stupid. And people saying, there's a few people saying like, oh, if he holds on to, he's strong enough to hold on to Mayweather and maybe sneak one in. It's not gonna happen, dude. It's not gonna happen. So Jake Paul by default, but I still see him maybe kissing the canvas, because I'm hoping that Tyron Woodley could really knock this kid out. I'm really hoping for it, because it's time. It's time. And if not, then maybe he fights a real boxer, maybe. But I think Jake Paul's going to take this out.
Yeah, no, you guys got the default answer right. It has to be Jake, because I don't see Logan beating Floyd. Like, I never saw Floyd get beat. I don't think this will be the first time I saw it. I've seen Tyron Woodley take an L, so it's more probable. And Sandy, you made a great point about how this is the biggest payday for Tyron Woodley, even as a former UFC champ. If I'm the UFC fighter, I'm writing a letter to the HR people in the UFC and be like, yo, what the hell is Dana White slaving us for?
You're writing a letter to Dana.
You know Dana gonna answer that. They need somebody to put a fire on Dana's ass and be like, yo, you gotta stop slaving your fighters, because how are these YouTube boxers making more money than the guys that actually do this MMA thing for a living? Like, that's abuse. Somebody gotta sue Dana for that one. But you guys are right. It gotta be Jake by default, because it's Floyd. It's money. He don't lose. And if I could make that much, if I could make money as easy as Floyd's gonna make that money on that, June 6th,
the Sunday.
That's a Sunday word. So, you know, we'd definitely be watching. I wish I could make a paycheck like that. So, Floyd.
Friday watching. Don't say that. Friday watching.
Come on, he ain't watching. But, you know, we'll text him what happens, so he at least knows what's going to happen. Yeah. But nonetheless, you guys are right. It got to be Jake by default, because Floyd ain't losing. But it is Friday, and I do want to wrap up the show, because we do got to do our Blazing predictions, as we always do on every Friday, and it's brought to you by Rocky Hill Accountants. With over 35 years of a combined experience, make sure that you have licensed professionals helping you do your financials. Ask for Haiti, and make sure you tell her that your friends from Clovercrest Media Group sent you, and particularly the Stir the Pot sports podcast, because, you know, we're the friends. But nonetheless, looks like we lost Andrew. I'm sure he'll get back here in a second. Pride, give me your prediction for this weekend.
I just want to say one thing very quick, right? So, me, I'm right now going straight up with how I feel, right? We got the Yankees and the Red Sox playing. I got my beloved Red Sox. I'm going to say 2-1. I'm going to be nice. You feel me? But wait for the cat. Can I get a solo shot on me, bro?
I'm going to do you one better, because I did something for you, too.
Domino.
I got you right here.
Domino.
I did it for you in your words.
The greatest organization on God's green earth. We're going to have them saying that shit check on, yo. Because I'm telling you, us Dominicans, we're going to give them un palazo, yo. We're going to make you guys regret even thinking that this is a rivalry, bro. We finna expose y'all. We finna do our thing. We finna make y'all come un palazo. I'm telling you, bro. Me, Bogarts and Devers, bro. We've been cooling, bro. We've been chilling, bro. And they've been telling me, you know how people go sheesh. Well, they taught me how to say it in Spanish, el sheesh on you, because I'm telling you, bro. Un palazo, I'm telling y'all. So I got my Red Sox. I'm going to be nice and give you guys a game. Xander Bogart, you feel me? Oh, my God. Devers, you know, we was chilling. You feel me? So I was like, yo, mira loco, dame tres. I was like, hit me three. And he just hit me a 3-run homer. So we up 3-0. So right now, we living good right now. But we going to win the weekend. And I understand we have a dress code. But if we win, first segment, I'm like this. Oh, yo, Shay Shop. Because I'm out here showing the gun.
And now your prediction does line up with a bet that you got with Joe now. So now you got a little more incentive to watch the games. Now that we knew you was going to watch them, but now you know for sure that you got to watch them now. Go ahead, Sandra. What you got for us this weekend?
Well, you know, coming in hot this week, and I was right last prediction. Hopefully, I'm right this prediction. Tonight, we got Clippers Mavs. Now, guys, everybody would love to see the Clippers maybe lose and get rid of the Kawhi sensation. But I want to see a game 7, because like I was saying earlier to my man JJ, I want to see Luka and Kawhi face-to-face in a game 7. Kawhi's already proven, is a proven commodity. He has finals championships. He has finals MVPs. He's been in game 7, successful and unsuccessful. So he's been there. Luka's 22. He's a young superstar that's, you know, only getting better. This is a big moment. I want to see game 7. I want to see Luka Kawhi game 7, baby. So I got Clippers winning tonight.
I did say this before. I was talking to JJ. I told them game 5 was very pivotal, because I feel like whoever won game 5 was going to win the series, because I just don't see any of them, you know, from either team, that 0-2 dog in them. I just don't see it. You know what I mean? So this is going to be a very pivotal game. It's weird because only road teams have won the series.
Yeah.
Only road team so far, which is kind of weird. So, you know, obviously you're right. It would be great to see a game 7, because, you know, Kawhi versus Luka in a game 7. that definitely would
be in great LA to see, too, so. Poppy. In LA.
Yeah, in LA. That would be great to see. So hopefully you're right, so we can get a good game seven.
A good game seven.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately for you, Sander, my prediction goes against yours because I've been on that Luka wave for the last couple weeks, and I predict that Luka Doncic and the Mavericks are going to defeat the Clippers tonight. Forget a game seven. We're going to wrap it up in six, Michael Jordan style, because we're not going to give them a chance to hit a game seven. We're going to send you back to L.A. You're right, on a plane back home, not back to the court. Go back to the basement where you sleep, Clippers, because that boy, Luka Doncic, he's going to put it on him. Like you said, Pride, game five was a pivotal game in any series, and the Mavericks, you know, it was actually, to me, a big thing about how you win and lose is how you win and lose. And game five came down ideally how you would want to see it in an NBA game. It came down to the last minute in a one-point game, and the Mavericks just ended up making more plays than the Clippers did. It actually came down to Kawhi airballing a three-pointer off of a Rondo feed, and everybody's seen the viral video of now Rondo giving Kawhi the crazy eyes, like, how you miss that shot, boy? You know, and who knows, maybe that caused a little dissension. I don't know. All I know is these Clippers are soft as baby crap. So I think that Luka Doncic is going to put it on them. You know, I got a little box that I got back on a double
on Friday. I got a
box back because I did lose to Pride last week, and I did the double or nothing and got it back. So now I got a box to play with. So, Sander, Skittles on each other's prediction?
Let's go ahead. I want sour Skittles, though.
I hope and pray that somehow this game ends in a tie, because I just want to see the awkwardness of, like, yo, who gets the Skittles, yo?
Well, yeah, my brother, so if I ever had to split Skittles with anybody, it'll be y'all too. I'm not stingy at all. Nonetheless, if I eat, my brothers eat too. So nonetheless, I'm very excited, not only for the Yankees Red Sox series tonight, but come 9 o'clock, Mavericks Clippers is going to be great. I can't wait. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter. Pride is great on there at Stir the Pot Sport. Twitch.tv/Clovercrest Media Group. And make sure you guys follow us on our awesome website, clovercrestmediagroup.com/Stir the Pot Sports. And also make sure you guys check us out on your commutes on Spotify, CMG Sports, Stir the Pot Sports. We're right there. You guys will check our awesome logo. It's undeniable to see. But yeah, guys, another awesome week of sports. I can't wait. See how it turns out. And our guy, Frank, what's his name? Frank Quest, to set a tie. I know. Wouldn't that be hilarious, Frank, to see a tie in an NBA game? Unfortunately, they got to be a winner. So
yeah, even if it's playoffs, overtimes,
somebody got to win, Pride. But woo, yeah. I'm just saying, if it goes multiple overtimes and it goes to a game seven, endurance is going to be the key there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. Woo.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. We'll catch you guys on Monday. Woo! Can't wait, guys. Cannot wait. Who are the way go?